Welcome to the Grow Bold with Disability podcast, brought to you by Feros Care, a podcast dedicated to smashing stereotypes and talking about the things people with disability care about most, to help us live bolder, healthier, better connected lives. I'm journalist Pete Timms.
And I'm Tristan Peters. I work for Disability Service Directory Clickability and am a wheelchair user living with spinal muscular atrophy.
Today's episode of Grow Bold with Disability is Growing Bold with Cystic Fibrosis. And our guest is Reggie Bird, the winner of the third Big Brother way back in 2003 and mother to 12-year-old Mia and 10-year-old Lucas, who has cystic fibrosis. In this episode, we'll discover what life has been like raising a child with cystic fibrosis and the struggles of being able to afford the best treatment for her son as a single mum. Reggie, welcome to Grow Bold with Disabilities.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
So, Reggie, Lucas was born 10 years ago. When did you find out that he had cystic fibrosis?
Found out when he was about 4 weeks old. And how you find out is when the babies are born, they take them away and do a heel prick test. Mm-hmm. And where they take blood, I think, and then I got a – it was really weird how I found out because, they sent a letter in the mail and there was a list of about 20 things on the letter saying your baby could have one of these things wrong with them. And I'm just like, what the hell, you know, like – and I'm going, this is crazy. So – and I remember I rang the I forgot what are they called – oh, he's a genetic specialist, but he was also, I forgot what they're called when your babies are born.
Pediatrician.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Yep. Anyway, so, and they said, oh, look, we can't get you in for 2 weeks to see him. And I said, I want to see them as soon as I can. I said, you know, you've sent me this letter to say something's wrong with my child and now I can't find out what it is. And I rang Dale, he was at work and I was crying and so he rang them up and then we ended up getting in the next day because he was wild for them to send a letter and say, look, you know, you can't come and find out what's wrong for a couple more weeks down the track. Went in and then as soon as he said cystic fibrosis, we just knew, like, because we got a friend that has cystic fibrosis. Mm-hmm. And one of Dale's work, who used to work at the fire station with one of the fireys, so his son Rory, he's actually it's his birthday today actually, so he's still kicking along. He's so that's how how we found out that he had cystic fibrosis, and then it wasn't until like the nurses once we found out, then the hospital got in touch with me because I didn't really know a lot about the disease at all. So,
well, tell us a little bit more about it. What does that mean? What does cystic fibrosis mean to you as a mum, and what you need to do?
Okay, it's with cystic fibrosis. Like, there's all different genetic mutations, different strains of CF. Like Lucas is called double delta F08. Where he has got, it's the worst one you can probably get because some carry one gene. There's over 2,000 different kinds of genetics of CF, and it's where I carried the gene and Dale carried the gene, and we both didn't know that we were carrying this faulty gene, and that's how CF comes about. And like no one in my side of the family has it and no one on Dale's side of the family has it either. So I couldn't say I was too shocked because I've got really bad Tasmanian genetics as it is. So they're bad. They all got the bad Tasmanian genetics. So what CF is? It's they say it's a lung disease. It affects the whole digestive system. So they say like it's a lung disease. So mucus gets stuck in his lungs. It affects his kidneys, his liver, his pancreas doesn't work. So he has to have medication, tablets called Creon to enzymes to take before he eats food, so he can try and digest the food and help keep you know the food in, because if he has anything with fat in it, and it depends on the fat content as well, so you've got to measure, look at how much fat's in everything, and then you go by how many tablets that he has to take to try and absorb the food. But you know, the minute he doesn't, if he's missed his tablets and he goes and eats something, he ends up on the toilet like real bad with belly aches, and oh, it's awful. So the mucus sits in their lungs, and that's why I have to give him physiotherapy every day to try and shift that mucus. So I pat him or bash him, you know, on his back and his chest, and give him a good old punch there. But I brought a vest for him as well. Like, it's a machine that can, it's like a little life jacket, and that also vibrates the body. But he hates the machine. He just won't let me put that on him anymore. So I might have to sell that actually down the track, because I don't think he just doesn't like it. So any physical, I've got a trampoline here, so I'll get him out on the trampoline as well to try and get it, move the mucus. So lots of physical activity is good for them. Because if you miss physio, you know straight away, like the you can hear all the gunk, and he coughs, and yeah, so lots of exercise for him.
So what is all this meant for the family? I mean, it's a big adjustment for you guys to make.
Oh, look, it's you know, like at this, like at the beginning when I found out, I was just like just absolutely heartbroken when I found out all about the disease. So I think he was only a few months old when he had his first operation, like had to go in and have a bronchoscopy. I can't say the word properly, but anyway, they stick something down, you know, into the lungs and have a look around. And so we go to the hospital every month. We go up and he gets his weight checked, height. You see the physiotherapists, the dietitians, the counsellors. You'll see his doctor. So it's an all day process when you go up there, and also like the minute you get there, he has to put a mask on. We get put into an isolate, like a room, because CF people can't be near other CF people as well. So he can't hang out with anyone else that's got CF. Because of cross-contamination with bugs that they have in their lungs.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's sad in a way, because, like, it'd be, you know, like it'd be good for him to talk to another CF kid to what he goes through, you know, like he has lots of x-rays, bloods, finger pricks, all that kind of stuff. So it's been over the years traumatic for him having all the needles, because he's just absolutely petrified of needles. So they used to send in, like, the occupational therapist would come in and try and, you know, make it a nicer experience for him, but I just found that made it worse. So I just do now is just take him when he has to have bloods done. I just take him in there and get him to stick the needle in and get it out as quick as I can.
You've obviously got all the physio you got to do, all the tablets he's got to take and stuff. But you also mentioned his diet. That's been a really big thing for Lucas, hasn't it? He hasn't been able to put on much weight, and that's also affected his growth, and it's also affected what he can and can't do.
Yeah, massively. So it's been a constant battle to try and get weight on him. So last year he ended up having a nasal gastric tube put in. So for the last 2 years, the doctor's been pushing to get a G tube put in, a feeding tube into his stomach. So that's where, you know, he's hooked up to feeds every night. But I've just been trying my hardest to get weight on him. And so when he had the nasal gastric tube in, he managed to put on about 3 kilos. So he had that in for a while. And the minute they pulled it out, he got bloody sick, and then he went downhill and lost all his weight again, you know. And I'm like, oh, it's just, yeah, just because his liver levels have been really bad. So when this new drug, Orkambi, finally came out to Australia, came on the PBS, which we could have it, but because his liver levels were so high, it's taken over a year for the liver to come back down to be stabilised. And then we've got the new drug now. He's been on it for 3 weeks, 4 weeks? No, 3 weeks now. I think it is 3 weeks or 2 weeks. God, I'm losing track of all the time because of the school holidays. But anyway, so he's on the new drug, but he's really suffering with the side effects, the poor little bugger. Like, the side effects are just horrid, and he's managed to have all the side effects possible with it. Like, there's lots of fever, headaches. He's constantly feeling sick and got pains in his belly, rash, all that kind of stuff. So, but this new drug's going to help him. It helps break down the mucus in the lungs, and it helps him put on weight. So, fingers crossed, like, this is, it's going to work, and you'll hopefully put on some weight and start growing, because he's only he's so tiny, like, he's a little runt, so, thin, skinny legs, skinny arms. And they're saying, like, he's coming into a crucial time, like, when they start coming into puberty and stuff.
Mm.
Whenever that starts. I didn't start till I was 14, I think, anyway, but I don't know how long it takes for boys to start growing there, yeah.
He's obviously shown, like, so much resilience through all of this. What are some of his hobbies? What does he enjoy doing?
Oh, he's obsessed with Fortnite at the moment. It's given me the – oh, I tell you. I could throw the PlayStation in the bin some days, but I use the PlayStation as a bribe. So I say to him, "You got to have your physio," because he hates having physio done, and you're not getting on there to have a play until you have your physio. So that's a good bribe thing. But he loves basketball. I take him up to the basket. There's a little court up the road here, and he likes to try and shoot the hoops, and he's so tiny, but he has a go. He gets a few in. He likes doing that, and where we live, like, in a complex, there's 3 swimming pools in the complex here, and so they love going down there for a swim. They love swimming, and he loves kicking the soccer ball, just all those type of things.
Yeah. So what, yeah. Reg, what are the what do you think the effects have been on the family financially?
Oh, look, well, with this that Orkambi drug that came out, because we couldn't have it because it was $260,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah, to have. So I fought for years. I think it was about 3 or 4 years fighting to get the actual. To get it onto the PBS. So when that finally happened, instead of paying, I think, the $260,000 a year, it works out to be, I think, about $78 all up for the year.
Wow.
Yeah, but and all the other tablets that he takes, all his other medication, that's on the PBS. So that helps a lot. So I think... he's because of his health care, like, he's got a health care card. So, but when they turn 16, they take it off him. So I don't know what's going to happen when he turns 16. So, and that puts a lot of burden on many families, because it's expensive. It's so expensive without it being on the, when you don't have a health care card.
But what about also time away from work for you, or actually trying to get full-time work and hold it down when you've got a young one who's so sick?
Oh, it is. Yeah. See, that's that's one of my biggest hurdles as well, that, you know, in life, is trying to get a job who understands that I'm going to be spending months at a time in hospital, you know, weeks at a time with him. So when I was working in the call centre a couple of years ago, they were quite good, actually. Like, Lucas was really sick and I had about 3 months off, and they were happy to, you know, let me come back, no problem at all. But and at the moment I'm just doing a work from home thing. But if I was to go out and try and get a full-time job, it'd be just too hard. I couldn't do it because I'm on my own, you know, like I don't have anyone here to help me. I mean, and Dale, he's lucky, like he's got a nice partner and she's there to help him. But all my family's down in Tassie, so yeah, I'm just here on my own, so it makes it hard.
And so you don't get any assistance from the NDIS or government, or it's sort of going this journey your own?
I can't get the NDIS for Lucas, and because they don't class cystic fibrosis as a disability.
Right.
So it's not classed as, yeah, even though you've got to have all this medication to keep yourself alive each day, and you know, all these hospital trips, and you know, you don't know how long you're going to live for, like, because the life expectancy is 37, but you see a lot of young ones dying all the time. And but no, it's he can't get the NDIS because they don't see it as a disability.
How does he go at school, Reg, with having time off and trying to keep up with his peers and so forth? Is he falling behind at class and so forth?
Yes.
And how does that affect him also with the other kids at school too?
Well, I've applied for this year. He's going to get tutoring once a week. So, because he missed last year it was about 120 days of school last year. Yeah, so and he felt like he's falling behind. So actually starting next Wednesday, he's going to get before school tutored an hour before school every Wednesday, just so he can, you know, keep up with everything. They have in the hospital, they have a school, but the trouble is, you can't go into the classroom if there's another CF person in there, like another CF kid is in there, because they can't be near each other. So, and a lot of the time when we are in hospital, he misses out going to school in there, you know, because someone's in there and then you wait for someone to come back, and or Lucas has had to be taken away to have physio, and then you come back and someone else is in there. And so, yeah, it's just that's very hard. So hopefully this year with the tutoring, he'll catch up on things.
And you've had issues with your own health, Reggie. How's your eyesight at the moment?
Yeah, my eyes, they're stuffed. So they're going okay. Look, I've still got 9 degrees of central vision left, which is, you know, touch wood, that hasn't changed in the in a year, because I go to my ophthalmologist every year. And they said it's still sitting at 9 degrees. So I'm happy with that, because I've still got, you know, a bit of pinhole vision left, and I can still manage to, you know, walk places. I take my cane when I go to the shops or in crowded areas, because I don't see people coming to, you know, to my left or my right. I've got no peripheral vision. And I don't have any night vision. So, yeah, so it's a bit of a battle when you go to the supermarket, banging into people. But, you know, I'm used to it now. So I just, you know, try and make the most of life while I can still
Absolutely.
See. So
now, Reg, last time I was talking to you, you were talking about getting a guide dog. Where are we at with that?
Look, I'm hopeless, eh? Like, I haven't even applied for one. I know, and it's like a 2-year waiting list. Oh, you know what happened? No, actually, I did actually speak to someone about getting a dog. And they said to me, because I'd because I lost my job at the call centre, they lost a contract, which was with the Red Cross. So that didn't really bother me because I didn't like it anyway. And the lady said to me, she said, because I don't have a full-time job, I couldn't get a I'm not entitled yet to get a dog. And I said, what do you mean? I said, how blind do you have to be to get a dog, you know? And she said, well, because it's a working dog, the dog has to go out and go places. And I said, well, I go places, you know, I walk down to the gym and I walk to the shops, I get on buses, but I need to look back into it again. But I can't remember if it was through the seeing eye dogs or the guide dogs. I can't remember who it was through. So I need to look into that again. Yeah.
Oh, Reg. Hey, Reg, what's the future holding for Lucas? Now he's on the new drug, obviously. It's a little bit early to say. What's the outlook the doctors are hoping for?
Well, this drug, because it's taken so many years for to get the damn drug, there's another one that's come out called Trikafta, and it's meant to be better than the Orkambi. So, so I reckon we'll be here fighting again for this Trikafta because it's around the same price again. They've put this massive price on it so no one can afford it. But the doctors are saying that the next drug coming through is going to be a lot better than the Orkambi. So things are looking good. As long as, you know, he takes his tablets and does his physio and tries to stay healthy, hopefully, you know, he'll live he'll live past 37. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah.
Reggie, as you know, this podcast is called Grow Bold with Disability. Can you tell us what living a bold life is to you?
Oh, I go in the pub having a few beers. I like going out and, you know, having a few beers with my friends. And I've joined back at the gym, but I haven't really been. But my life is living a bold life. I think you just got to make the most of everything. You live it live each day as it's your last day, and that's how I see it, how I think. I know sometimes I probably shouldn't think like that, you know. I think I should be saving up a bit, you know, save me pension up for better, you know, a rainy day. But I'd just like to live in the moment and make the most of it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Reg, you are definitely one of a kind. Thank you so much for joining us here on Grow Bold with Disability podcast, brought to you by Feros Care. And please say hello to Lucas and Mia for us.
Yeah, we'll do. Thanks so much for having me on.
And listeners can find out more about Reggie and all these other great things to do with cystic fibrosis in the links on today's episode show notes. Thanks again, Reg.
Thanks, Reg.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening. And if you have enjoyed today's episode, then make sure you subscribe to the podcast, Grow Bold with Disability. And if you like what you heard, then please take a few moments to pop over to iTunes and give our podcast a quick rating so we can continue these conversations and encourage people to grow bold. This podcast is brought to you by Feros Care, a people care organisation committed to helping people live bolder lives. We call it Growing Boldly, and for over 25 years, Feros has been making it real for both older Australians and those living with disability. To find out more, head to feroscare.com.au.